All right, so we are looking at NTI Acts chapter 10, beginning with verses 27 to 29, which in my Kindle version is page 233. How about you guys? Also 233 in the paperback? All right, here we go. Each of your brothers is one with you. And so each of your brothers has one purpose, and that is the purpose given him within the mind. There seems to be two purposes, when in truth there is only one. There was a purpose, an ancient one, that only lasted an instant. In the instant this purpose was made, another was placed beside it as its correction. And in the instant the correction was accepted, correction became the only purpose. Any other purpose that seems to be is a residual of a purpose that was for an instant and then passed. So this is saying something that A Course in Miracles also teaches, but it's saying it a little bit different, and the difference is worth looking at. A Course in Miracles talks about the tiny mat idea. And the Course in Miracles says that as soon as the Son of God had the tiny mat idea, God created the Holy Spirit to correct it. And the interesting thing about that wording is it makes it look like there was a Son that had a mat idea and a separate God that created a Holy Spirit for the correction. So you have separation in the way the story is told there. The Son is separate from God. And then Holy Spirit seems to be a new character almost that's created. So now maybe you have three, right? You have three. This is really talking about one mind. And it's saying that within, so if we imagine it for a moment just as a human mind, just so we have something concrete to look at, it's like saying that I had an idea, like, I think I will, what's a good tiny mad idea I could have? I think I'm going to try and make Danielle look really bad to everyone, you know, because I'm jealous of Danielle, and I think people think she's too sweet, and I'm sick and tired of people thinking she's sweet, and I live with her. I could probably come up with some kind of stories that I tell about her that will make people look at her differently. So my tiny mad idea is I think I'm going to try to make Danielle look bad. Then in the very next instant, in the exact same mind, I have the thought, you don't really want to do that because you love Danielle. See, the correction thought came from the same mind as the tiny mad idea. So it's not like there's a separate, you know, like a son that's gone mad and a father who doesn't want the son to go mad, and so he creates another being to help the son find his way back. And that's really the way this is telling. It's saying there was a tiny mad idea. There was a thought for an instant, you know, I want to experience things different than they were. But in the very next instant, there was a correction thought that says, but things are the way they are. And so, and both of those came from the same mind. So the idea, the insane idea, the tiny mad idea, only lasted an instant. But what happened is because it was given some interest, it's almost like that instant keeps echoing. But the corrective thought is the only real thought. And so the corrective thought is the only real purpose. And so that's what this is saying, is that the echo of the tiny mad idea continues to echo, but that was just a thought that was shot out once, and immediately the exact same mind that had that idea also birthed the correction to it. So it has no real meaning. If we move forward, starting with sentence 8, remember that I have told you there is no past. The past does not exist now. It is only a memory of something that was, but what was isn't now. Now, A Course in Miracles also talks about this, and the way A Course in Miracles words this is something like, the illusion is already over. We're at the end, just kind of watching it. I wish I could remember the words real well. But we're at the end where it's already over, just kind of watching it replay as if it's playing now. That's the same type of idea, in that the correction is in our mind. and that where we really are is with the correction, and that the illusion is just being observed, but it's not real, and it's not who we really are. And, you know, this is kind of hard to understand until we start to get an idea of who we really are. And then we start to see that who we really are really is just observing all of this. Sometimes people will call it the observer. And that who we really are isn't the actor. It isn't the one playing. You know, like the Regina is a false self. Regina's not the true self. And the true self really is just sitting back there with the correction, merely observing everything. And at least in my case, I get a stronger sense of that, even when I'm apparently speaking. You know, like I've really felt it a lot this week because my boyfriend is visiting, and my boyfriend is not at all interested in spirituality. So all of our conversations are based on, you know, more worldly types of topics. And I've been watching myself interact with him, but it really feels like I'm watching an actor, or an actress in my case, interact. It's not like I'm fully believing the way I'm interacting with him anymore. So some kind of a shift is occurring where I'm moving, you know, for lack of better words, back within myself, where even though the acting is continuing to happen, I don't know how to explain it, but I'm back here observing. I'm more back than I am out here in the living.
You're more present back there.
More present back here than here. But this still happens. And so that's kind of what A Course in Miracles and this are talking about, is that, you know, all of this illusion, all of this is just a residual of a past idea. And it's not who we are, and who we really are is sitting with the correction, even right now. And that's a true statement. It's just not everybody has yet made the shift yet where they realize how true that is. So it sounds a little far-fetched. But once that shift starts to be made, it isn't that far-fetched. It becomes very easy just to observe the acting without believing that you're the actor. So, again, starting with sentence 8 again. Remember that I have told you there is no past. The past does not exist now. It is only a memory of something that was, but what was isn't now. The Holy Spirit is the purpose of now. The purpose of now is the joining of that which seemed to be made separate by the purpose that was, but isn't anymore. This is important for you to accept. So let's look at this so you may see. The purpose that was the purpose that you could be separate from God in order to be different. This is the purpose I explained to you before, and he's referring to the end of NTI Luke. This is the purpose that led you to believe that you had stolen yourself from God. In the beginning, which has no beginning at all, there was God, and God is all there is today. But the existence of God sought a freedom that was different than the freedom it had known. Of course, what freedom could be different from freedom? When freedom is free, as your freedom is, nothing can be different except the illusion of not being free. Okay, so what this paragraph is saying, it's using the word God. It's saying that God is all that there is. You know, other words could be used, like life is all that there is, existence is all that there is. I like the word isness. That's a favorite word of mine. Isness is all that there is. But this isness, this life, this existence is also intelligence. And so this intelligence somehow, you know, had an idea of, I want to experience differently than I do. I want to experience differently than I do. And what this is saying is when your experience is perfect freedom, and you say that you want to experience differently than you do, what is the only thing that can be different than freedom? That would be the perception of not being free, right? So that's what this is saying. Let's see. The existence of God sought a freedom that was different than the freedom it had known. Of course, what freedom could be different from freedom? When freedom is free, as your freedom is, nothing can be different except the illusion of not being free. And you can see how perceiving ourselves as separate, with separate wills and separate bodies, and now, you know, even the ones that we're married to or that we're living with, you know, there's little things that come up where we don't feel totally free. We maybe sometimes even wanting to watch different things on TV at the same time. You know, we never have this feeling of being totally free anymore in this experience here. Starting with sentence 22. Opposites were made from a state of freedom, so freedom may be expressed because it is free. So what this is saying is through our absolute freedom, we were able to create the perception of not being free. So our perceived lack of freedom was made because we were free enough to make it. Isn't that funny?
Yes.
So opposites were made from a state of freedom, so freedom may be expressed because it is free. This is the expression of you. You are, and by you, now he's talking to us as seeming people in bodies, you are an expression of freedom. And the brothers you experience are an expression of freedom too. Since freedom is all that was given you, freedom is all that you are. But that expression has been used to make something different from that which it is. And so the expression of freedom made lack of freedom. And this is also the expression that you are. You seem to be the lack of freedom when freedom is what you are. So the lack that you experience is an expression of the freedom that you are. It's funny words, but hopefully it's making sense. But all of this you have forgotten, for you chose to forget it when you chose an experience different than the experience you know. So it's interesting because almost everyone has this sense of not being free. You know, even in America, where we're among some of the freest people in the world, again, like I said, you may have the sense of not being free when you want to watch one program on television and your spouse wants to watch another one. In that moment, you don't feel free. You're not free enough to even watch what you want to watch on TV. Maybe you're not free to eat the foods you want to eat because of an allergy, right? There's so many ways that we don't feel free. Because of your debt, you're not free to leave your job, you know, if you wanted to leave your job. You know, there's just so many ways we don't feel free. But all of this feeling of not being free was created because we were free enough to create this perception. So even our perception of not being free is actually an expression of freedom. We were free enough to create that perception. Let's see, starting with sentence 32. The Holy Spirit is the memory of the experience you know, which is the truth of your freedom and the truth of you now. In your desire to be only free, this truth has been accepted. Like I said, the correction was accepted immediately after the tiny mat idea was birthed. So the purpose of freedom, which is the purpose of the Holy Spirit, is the only purpose now. Within you is true purpose. Within you is the Holy Spirit. But to remember the true purpose that you chose to forget, you must follow your purpose back to where you are. So like I said, in truth, we aren't the actors. We aren't the bodies. We aren't the ones complaining that we can't watch the TV show we want to watch or complaining that we have allergies and we can't eat the foods we want to eat. We mistakenly think we are those actors. And when we mistakenly think we are those actors, we experience their frustration, their fear, their anger. But the truth is, our real self is back here with that correction. And this is the shift that we're making as we awaken, is we're shifting away from thinking we're this expression of our freedom, which is a character that was made to act as if it wasn't free, to realizing we're back here with the correction, knowing that freedom is all there is. Even the expression of freedom that appears to be lack of freedom is freedom. And we know that. And that's why we're able to just observe everything in the world. When you're totally aware of who you are, there's no need to control any circumstance, which is what our practice was last week, not controlling, just watching our reactions. But when you totally know who you are, you can allow everything in the play, I'm going to call it, the play of the world, to be as it is, because you know it's not true. You know it's just an expression of freedom wanting to try something different. And you also know you're sitting here with the correction, still who you always were. Nothing has changed. You're the changeless. You're unaffected by all of this. And you can just sit back there in peace and let the play out until it's done.
Now, is that experience that you just described what Eckhart Tolle talks about being present and just sitting there being present, and he's watching or what everybody else is doing, but he is being present? Because I kept wondering, what does he mean being present?
Yeah, and I would say that's really good, because I think some people misunderstand being present as meaning I'm totally paying attention to this drama and I'm totally in this drama now. By being present, he means I'm sitting back here with my true self. I know that, you know, even if all of you are upset right now, I know who your true self is. And I know your true self is just observing your upsetness. And I'm going to sit back here with the true self. I'm going to be present. And he tells stories about, like, there's this one story about this woman. I don't remember the details, but she came over to him. And she was so upset about something, very, very upset. And he just let her go on and on and on about whatever it was that was bothering her. I think he didn't even say anything. And he just sat there being, quote, present. And as he did that, something in her began to shift, right? And he has this story in his book, A New Earth, about how she totally shifted, and all he did was sit there and be present. You know, just remembering this is just a play. And in fact, when we get to the end of Acts, it's going to talk a lot more about the world as a play. And that's really the point of view that we want to get to. In fact, I read something by Sri Nisargadatta the other day, who's a Hindu guru that's very well respected. And he was recommending to a man just that. He said something like, a wise man will realize that the entire world, including the man that you think you are, is outside of you like a play. And you will just watch it. He said a wise man will live with that point of view, just always watching. And so that's where we are. Our true self is back here with the correction, already accepted, right? Watching the play. But what's happening is we have a projected idea that we're the character. And so waking up is returning to the correction that's already present in our minds and staying there. Ramana Maharshi calls that abiding in the self. You know, so a different set of words than Eckhart Tolle's being present, but they're talking about the same thing. Yeah, so within you, back to sentence 35, within you is true purpose. Within you is the Holy Spirit. Or maybe I haven't read this yet. But to remember the true purpose that you chose to forget, you must follow your purpose back to where you are. I did read that. This is where I paused. This is the path of joining by letting go of false purposes, founded in the search for falseness, and returning to true purpose, which is the only purpose now. So a false purpose would be anything that the character would get involved in. You know, anything that the character would be worried about. You know, trying to get my husband to finally let me watch the TV show I want to watch, or, you know, trying to find some medicine that I can take so I'm no longer allergic to something so I can eat whatever I want. You know, these are the character's purposes, right? So these are the false purposes. The true purpose is returning to the correction that's inside of you and just watching and not even really being concerned about the character, because you know it's not real, right? You're just watching it like you'd watch a movie.
So what exactly does that 38 mean? This is the path of joining. Joining
With your true self.
With your true self and the correction, like you said.
Yes, yes. And not only that, when everybody joins with the true self, then we're all joined in the same self. So it's also in that way, you could call it joining with others too. But
in
you
the
join
oneness.
In the oneness, but you join with the oneness, yes. So verses 30 to 33. This brings us back to the story of your willingness. Since in truth you are the expression of pure freedom, nothing can be given you unless you are wholly willing to accept it. For if that were not true, you would not be free. So, it cannot be forced in you to realize that you're sitting back here with the correction. If you really want to continue to believe that you are the character, and you really want to continue to believe that the world is real, if there's something in you that's caught up in that, there's nothing that can happen to bring you back. The way A Course in Miracles words this is you will not be thrust into heaven, right, before you are ready. So the only way to shift from believing you're the character back to realizing your true self is to want to do it, is to be willing. It's the only way because you're perfectly free. It can't be forced on you. So that's why the next paragraph says, so continue the nursing of your willingness that you may ask for in your freedom that which you truly desire, which is to remember the reality of the truth that you are free. One of the people that I read right now is a man named Michael Langford. He has a book out called The Most Direct Means to Eternal Bliss. And one thing that he heavily emphasizes in that book is he says the most important thing, if you want to awaken, the most important thing is your desire to awaken. And that's really what this is saying. He says do anything you can to increase your desire. Because, again, if you don't desire it, if you don't want it, if you aren't wholly willing for it, it can't happen for you because it can't happen against your will. And so he has all of these recommendations about how to become willing. Now, I don't know that his recommendations necessarily work for everyone, because everyone is different. In his case, it looks like when he focused on the negative aspects of the world, like the wars, the diseases, the starvation, the genocide, and realized that all comes from wanting to be the character and wanting to be in the world and wanting the play to continue, that motivated him to want to take himself out of that, right? I don't know that everybody's motivated in that way. For some people, they may need to spend more and more time reading the spiritual quotes from masters that talk about the love, that talk about the bliss. They may need to focus more and more on the positive, and they may find themselves really, really wanting that same experience, and that motivates them. The key is for each of us to find out what strokes our willingness, what really increases are wanting to know ourself to the point where we become more and more willing to see that I'm not this character. This play of the world is not real. You know, even the people who are important to us, my husband is not real. I mean, he's not the character. He's real in that he's the same real self I am, but he's not the character. My daughter is not that character. You know, because until we're ready to let go of them, we're not ready to let go of us, right? You know, you can't. So what can we do to really increase our willingness to awaken? Because we can't awaken until we're ready. That's the bottom line. And, you know, sometimes people, lots of times people really, for example, love their families. Families can actually be one of the greatest hindrances to awakening. It's kind of interesting. You know, and that's why Jesus talked about in the Bible, leaving your mother and your father and your, you know, he talked about this. Families are a huge hindrance. And lots of times people will mention, you know, why would I want to awaken if it means, you know, not having my family anymore? But the real answer is, again, if you continue to observe with true objectivity, what you will see is that nothing in this world lasts forever. You know, the ones that you love are going to suffer. They're going to suffer in some way if they aren't already. They're going to grow old. They're going to get sick. They're going to have accidents. You know, all these things happen. Nothing in the world lasts forever. So there's nothing here that we can hold on to or that anyone else can hold on to. Every apparent good thing eventually goes away and is replaced with suffering. The ego's world always eventually leads to suffering. And so seeing that sometimes helps people to really kind of wake up and realize this idea that I have that I love this, it's not what I really love. What I really love is being happy, is knowing love. And the only way I'm really going to know that all the time is to know my true self and moving back into that. Also, I think we've talked about before, I think we may have talked about it last week, that as we awaken, that sets off sparks in other people's too. So they also begin the awakening process. And an awakening is the way out of suffering for everyone forever. You know, no one ever suffers again when awakening occurs. So every time we choose awakening, we're not only helping ourselves, but we're literally helping everyone in the world. You know, in some way we're helping them so that they can also begin their path of awakening and move away from suffering into consistent, perfect happiness that's even called bliss by some people. So verses 34 to 48, the story of the world is the story of the expression of freedom. Everything that happens in the world is just the expression of freedom. Within this story, one must also see the willingness that the expression know itself as free. And that's true. You can see that in anybody. No matter how much ego a person is expressing, if you look for it, you can see that everybody wants to feel free. You know, even when they're fighting with someone else, the reason they're fighting is they want to feel free, and they believe this person is an obstacle to that feeling. So everybody really does have that same core desire. They just don't understand how to become free, right? But everybody wants to feel free.
Or even to know what it is.
Or even to know what freedom is. Yes, that's good. Yes. So within this story, one must also see the willingness that the expression know itself as free. And so freedom is available to you because freedom is all there really is. Accept this truth and join with the Holy Spirit within you. He will guide you back through your willingness to the remembrance of the freedom that is you. So I think, you know, a really good assignment this week is, you know, it's kind of like last week's assignment, but a little different. Last week we were letting the world just be what it was, and we were observing our reactions to it, staying inner focused. This week, we want to continue to let the world be whatever it is, and we want to continue to observe it. But instead of judging it, which is probably usually our habit, we may judge it first, and if so, that's okay, we can take it back. But what we want to do is we want to remember that that person is just the expression of freedom. And everything that person is saying or everything that person is doing is just the expression of freedom. And same thing for me. If I happen to find myself frustrated and you know, I act out, you know, remember that is just the expression of freedom. Everything that is happening in this universe is just the expression of freedom. And kind of just label it that all week. That's an expression of freedom I'm seeing there. That's an expression of freedom I'm saying there. And remember the idea of freedom wanting to experience itself different. And it's free enough to do that. You know, so what's happening in Israel and Gaza right now is just the expression of freedom. We're free to even go all the way to war and kill each other. You know, it's just the expression of freedom. And so instead of having other opinions, like whether Israel should do this or whether Gaza should do that or whatever, only have the opinion there is an expression of freedom. And try to stay very consistent in that with everything you see. And then see what your experience is. All right? Okay, so I will turn off the recorder. And we can take just a little bit of silence and then see if you guys have anything you want to share about that.